Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, in Jesus' name. We are here, we are live right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio, in Jesus' name. We praise God for each and every one of you that are listening in around the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are listening to me right now, amen, if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed. And it's not because of me, because me, I can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. Amen. We say welcome to each and every person that is listening to the show on today. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, giving honor to the founder of this network, in Jesus' name, Bishop Cook, in Jesus' name, and all of the Spirit Alive family, in Jesus' name, and last but not least, giving honor to my pastor and my First Lady, Pastor William Tuggle, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for each and every single one of you, in Jesus' name. Today, we have a phenomenal topic today. And I'm gonna share some things with you on today about this topic, but I'm also gonna share some other things in exuberance of this topic. I guess the word exuberance, I guess I could use that word. But to get us ready for the topic today, the title of this topic today is All I Have is Jesus. All I have is Jesus. And such as I have, I give unto thee. But all I have is Jesus. That's it. All I have is Jesus. The Word of God specifically tells us we can find different scriptures where people have depended on the Lord, where they cannot use their own strength, where they cannot use their own train of thought, but all they had was Jesus. Have you ever thought about a time in your past where the only thing you had was Jesus? Maybe it might have been a sickness that you overcame, a financial issue that the Lord brought you through, and you did not see a way out, but all you had was Jesus. God puts us in these different scenarios in life for a couple of reasons. And I'm going to explain a few of them today. God puts us in different places in our life to depend on him so that two things. Number one is so that we can give him the glory. Amen. That's number one. So that he might get the glory out of our life. Number two, so that our faith might increase in him.
Amen.
And number three is for the attraction of man. And when I say the attraction of man, when God uses different things that happen in our life, if God allows things to happen in our life so that people can see the work of God happening and what the Lord is doing. Amen? Simple as that. To see what the Lord can do. The main reason why we are here on this earth, to give God his just due, to build our faith, and to show the power of God off to the sinner man. That's why we say all we have is Jesus. Without him, I can't do anything. Without him, the Bible says we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen. In Philippians, it says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. We must understand that we cannot do this. We cannot live this. We can't even be holy without him.
Amen.
We can't even breathe without Jesus. All we have is Jesus. You might say, well, Minister Adam, that's not all I got. Okay, what do you have that's more powerful than Jesus? I'll wait. There is nothing. And the reason why I say I'll wait is because I want you to really ponder in your mind, what is more powerful than Jesus? There is nothing powerful than Jesus. Nothing in this world or out of this world. You might say, well, Minister Adam, there's other gods out there. You said it before that we can make anything out of a God, but there's nothing greater than Jesus. That's why all I have is him. And we must present that to the world. Peter said it in the Word of God in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, he said in Acts chapter 3, verse number 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. All he had was Jesus. Now, we understand if all of them that are Bible scholars, because I'm not one, amen, but all of you that are Bible scholars, y'all know the story about how Peter and John were coming to the temple of the gate, beautiful, and there was a man basically begging for money. But he got more than what he bargained for. He got more than what he was looking for. And there's two sides to this. Because Peter, there's two sides to look at this. There's Peter's side, and there's this man's side. This man was looking for money, and he had an ailment. This is what he was disabled. He didn't have much. So we can look at this two ways, the way of Peter and the way of this man. The way we look at this through Peter's eyes is because if we read the scripture, when he said, silver and gold have I none. Now, that's not saying that Peter was broke, naturally. He had money. But it was a good time to show off the grace and the power of God. Wasn't saying that Peter was broke, silver and gold have I none. That didn't mean that. To me, Peter had it all. He had Jesus. He had enough money in the bank. He had you know, a place to stay. All of this. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Why? Because money can't buy what I got. Things cannot amount to the to the Jesus I have on the inside of me.
Amen.
Things of this world cannot amount to the God that we serve. The devil might try to come in and try to make you rethink your relationship with Christ. But the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why? Because the Bible lets us know that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. How do we resist him? We resist the devil. We can tell the devil no with the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of God, we have the ability to not only tell the devil no, we have the ability to tell our flesh no, we have the ability to tell those addictions no. You can't take over here. There's only one boss in this house, and that's Jesus. There's only one boss here. There's only one boss in this temple. When I say this temple, I mean our body, and that's Jesus. There's no room for two. There's no room for three. And what I mean by three, you might say, well, where did you get three from? Our flesh. Because we war against our flesh daily. We war against the devil daily. We war against ourselves. The biggest enemy we have, the two biggest enemies we have is the devil and our flesh. It's not the world. Even though the things of the world and the fiery darts that come at us from the world, those are fiery darts. But that's not the biggest thing that we got to fight. The biggest thing we have to fight is the devil and our flesh. But we, as people of God, we have to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. All I have is Jesus. Despite how much money I got in the bank, I got Jesus. If I never, ever see riches untold, I got Jesus. If I never have a house on a hill, I got Jesus. If I never have a fancy car, if I have a broke down automobile and I never have the Lexus or the Bentley or the whatever type of car, dream car that you got or that you want, that you might have or you might not have. But he's better than that dream car. My former pastor used to say it ain't nothing but a piece of tin anyway. And it rots and gets old. But Jesus never gets old. Nothing about Jesus gets old. He said, morning by morning, new mercies I see. The songwriter says, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. You might say, well, what are you saying? What are you saying, Brother Adam? I'm saying that we need more of Jesus. We need more of him. We need more of him. And if you don't have him on today, I encourage you to get closer to him. I encourage you to get him on the inside of you. This is an encouraging thing today. I was at a store on yesterday, and I had bought some items on yesterday, and the man that was helping me forgot to take my money. And it was a big purchase, too. And I was, you know, getting everything. They was bagging up everything. And the reason why he forgot, it wasn't on purpose. And it wasn't that I wasn't trying to pay. It was the fact that I was in conversation with two other customers. And I was talking to this man. And we was all, you know, laughing and joking. And he was doing his job. And I was paying him. And I had to sign the little receipt, so I went and accidentally put my money in my pocket trying to sign the paper because I couldn't, I felt myself not, couldn't hold the money and sign the receipt. So I put my money in my pocket and started signing the receipt. He started bagging stuff up and handing me the bag. I went out the door, not knowing that I forgot to pay. And I reached in to grab my keys out of my pocket. And the Lord had me not only touch my keys, but touch the money. And I looked at it. I said, well, wait. I had a certain amount of money, and I walked in there. I said, I'm walking out with the same amount of money that I had. This is not supposed to be the right amount that I'm supposed to have now since I bought this stuff. I put that stuff in that car. I went inside there, and I told the man to come here. I said, this belongs to you. I said, you forgot to collect my money. And his boss and his assistant were both looking at this man. And they was looking mad, too, like, well, you forgot to get this man's money? And I told him, don't embarrass him. Don't be mad at him. It was a mistake. It's very unlikely that he'll make that mistake again. It's very unlikely that he done made that mistake another time. But the one thing that this manager was saying, he said, he started looking at me and I'm like, I told the man, don't be mad at him. He said, I'm not mad. He said, I'm not mad, but I'm wondering, why did you come back in here? And I said, well, what do you mean, why did I come back in here? He said, well, you could have walked off with a free item. You could have walked off with two free items. Why did you come back in here? Because he said, that's very unlike. I've never seen that before, especially the amount that I was supposed to pay for these items. And he said, why did you come back in here? I said, I have too much respect for my relationship with God. I have too much respect for my love for the Lord, too much love for Jesus to do that to you. And he said, well, what church do you go to? And I began to tell him and everything. And he said, well, what's the address? And I gave him the address. And he said, Sunday, I'll be there. He said, the reason why I want to come is because I have never seen. He said, You told me something in that. You showed me something in that. You showed me the love of God in that. See, and I told him, I said, this was divine. This was supposed to happen. Don't be mad at this young man. This was supposed to happen. God is getting people's attention. See, God does not show up the way we think he should show up. And God does not use, that's why I said, things in our life that happen. This is why I said, this is why the title of this topic is the way it is. It's because all we have is Jesus. When we go through certain situations, all we have is Jesus. And Jesus allows things to happen for a reason, for him to get the glory. Now, this manager was firstly upset with him, but I told him, I said, don't be mad at him. God set this up. God set this up for you to see the glory of God. God set this up, and not only him, but everybody else in that building. There was about 7 or 8 people in that building at one time that saw that. And I'm not talking about any glory of my own. But God got the glory. I didn't do nothing. You might say, well, you walked back in there and gave him the money. So the Lord led me to do it. Because, yes, I could have walked. I could have been like, oh, well. And you know what? That would have been wrong of me, too. Oh, that's just my blessing. No, it's not. Don't you tell that lie. Because we got some saints that will try that. Oh, preach. That was just my blessing. No, that was not a blessing. You stealing.
You're stealing and you need to repent.
Preach.
So let's get that out the way now. That would have not been a blessing. That would have been me stealing. And I'm telling on myself. Had I left that building and got in my car and drove off, I would have stole something. So let's get that out the way. Because I know that there's some people that will say, well, that wasn't much of a blessing. That wasn't much. Yes, it was, because some souls got touched. Well, you still,
amen.
And I still got my idol. But the main thing was souls were witness to. They got to see the love of Jesus. Maybe some souls that never saw. Do you not understand that the reason why all we have is Jesus sometimes is because some people, they never read a Bible in their life, and you might be the only Bible that they see? This is why all we have is Jesus. They see the cars, they see them, but that can't buy them the joy that Jesus can bring them.
Amen.
Trust me, people done tried it. People have tried to find joy in money, cars, clothes, houses, and different things, different people. They try to find love in all the wrong places. But guess what? They can't find it because they're not connected to the source which brings the joy. What is the source that brings the joy? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. He lets us know that we don't have to worry about anything as long as we got him. David said it in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Why? Because he's got Jesus.
Amen.
He had, yes, there were many gods back then, and just like there's many gods now, there was many gods back then, and there's many gods now. But one, the one true God, the one true and living God, had power enough to illuminate David's mind to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because all we have is Jesus. All you have is Jesus, such as I have. And guess what? We are not just supposed to take Jesus and put him in a box for ourselves. We're not just supposed to contain him. We're supposed to spread it abroad like Peter did in this verse. So that the joy of the Lord will be shown. The glory of the Lord will be shown. We're supposed to tell our testimony. We're supposed to live right, not just tell the testimony, but live right among sinner man, amongst the sinner woman. When you tell them, I've said this before. I had a young man come to me one time, and this young man was selling drugs. I was downtown Indianapolis. This young man, I did not know him from Adam. Amen. That's funny. But I didn't know him at all. Never met him. And this young man came up to me and said, oh, I got this good stuff here. I got this good stuff. You want to buy some? And I knew what he was talking about. But I said, No, thank you. I'm good. And I proceeded to walk the opposite way, and the Lord stopped me and said, Adam, go back to that young man. Turn around and go back to that young man. And I'm like, Lord, well, why are you telling me to go back to this young man? He offered you something. And this is exactly what the Lord told me. He offered you something. Now I want you to offer him me. I want you to offer him me. And we got to be all things to all people. So I had to get down on his level. And sometimes, see, the way the church is now is we got to mingle with the world to get to draw the world. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And any preacher that tells you we gotta bring them in, so we gotta act just like them. No, you do not. The Bible says be separate from the world. Love not the things of the world. Amen. We must be
Amen.
Separate from the world. But we can't be so separate from the world that we shun them. And what I mean by, you might say, well, what do you mean? We have to get down on their level. And what I mean by get down on their level of understanding what you're talking about. That's what I mean. So I got down on this young man's level. That's what I mean. I ain't sin, but when I went to this young man, the Lord gave me what to say. And what I mean by getting on this young man's level, I said, young man, come here. He said, you changed your mind? No, I ain't changed my mind. But I want to, since you offered me that, I'm going to offer you something. He said, what you want to offer me? I said, I got something better than that drug you got in your pocket. He said, what? I said, I can get high off of it. I can get drunk off of it. And I don't have to worry about the police. I don't have to look over my shoulder and worry about the police. I can get high in the morning. I can get high in the daytime. I can get high at night. That's getting on their level of understanding. That's why we got to be all things to all people. That's what I mean. Offer Jesus. You ain't got to sin to offer Jesus. But you can get down on a level of understanding. And I broke it down to him. I said, I get high. He said, well, how you get high and get drunk off the same thing? What is it? He said, what is it? I said, it's called HG. He said, HG. And I got down on his level. He got interested. That's getting down on somebody's level. See, it's not hard to explain the word of God to people. It's not hard. You don't have to quote a bunch of scriptures. Get down on a level. Get down on a person. A person that does not understand the word of God, get down on a level. Get down there. Jesus did it. Jesus got down on people's levels of understanding to offer himself unto them. The woman with the woman at the well. He got down on her level, didn't he? He got down on her level. She thought he was talking about water pots and all this stuff. He wasn't talking. He was talking about a well within. But he still mentioned a well. He was getting down on her level of understanding. Amen. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Jesus never made it complicated to offer him. He never made it complicated. The word is so plain. The word of God is so plain that even a dummy can understand it. And what I mean by a dummy, that means a person that does not understand naturally. Amen. It takes a minute for them to process. Now, I'm not calling nobody a dummy when I say that. I mean somebody that is a little bit slow of understanding. Look, let me tell you something. I know because, you know what, when I was in school, I was told this, that I wouldn't be able to understand not one book that I read. I went into high school with a fourth grade reading level. You understand me? This is what we're talking about. And if I can understand it, and I had a teacher tell me I would never understand my schoolwork or no other type of work. And guess what? this young man that you're listening to today, hallelujah, and I give all praise and glory to God, did not learn how to read out of school, but I learned how to read by the word of God. I learned math by collecting offerings at church. You might say, well, what? There's some things I did. There's some things that people can learn, not being in school. Now, I'm not saying don't go to school, because school is good. You need to get an education. But there are some things spiritually and not mostly spiritually, school can't teach you what God can teach you in the word of God. Amen. No school can teach this. No public school can teach this, because they ain't trying to teach it no way. And if they do teach it, they're teaching it wrong. And they twisting in it and all of that. They doing profane teaching. But let me tell you this. All we have is Jesus. And such as I have, silver and gold have I none. I may not be the best orator in the world, but I got Jesus. Such as I have, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he than anything else in this world, above everything else, above money, above cars, above all of that, above fame and fortune. This stuff that Hollywood is and society is bringing across the TVs and across the radios and in these commercials and all this stuff and in social media, that stuff don't mean a hill of a bean compared to Jesus. That ain't nothing but a big old giant distraction. If it's not pleasing unto the Lord, it's a distraction. If it's not edifying Jesus, it's a distraction. Hear me today, and I want you to get this. If you listen to what's on the news and what's going on on social media and all this stuff, and you start taking in all this stuff, all that garbage, because I'm going to call it garbage, it's garbage. Anytime you have, and I'm still stuck on this, I'm going to be stuck on this until the Lord gets me off of it. Anytime you watch a program where you see demonic rituals going on, there's something wrong. And I don't care who like it or who don't like it. I'll stand 2 feet down. Anytime you see profane preaching in the pulpit, you add a little, take away a little. The devil is a liar. You telling people, you can do it this way, but the Bible says it's a different way. You profane. You trying to mix it to it, it ain't working. It's not going to work. It's not going to work because the Bible lets us know light and darkness have no fellowship. You cannot mix the world with holiness. But you can get down on a level when you talk about Jesus. You can get down on a level and talk about Jesus. You don't even got to say a word. Sometimes you ain't even got to say a word. And you're offering Jesus. You don't believe me? Go on your job and let a problem happen. And you ask the Holy Ghost to keep you under subjection. Do you not know that that is a witness to the person that may be doing you wrong and to the people that are watching?
Amen.
And you don't say a word, just like Jesus did. When Jesus was underneath, he was being judged. And I'm just going to put it that way. He was basically in a court of law, the wrong court of law, and they was lying on Jesus, Jesus didn't say nothing. But he let the power speak for itself. From his trial all the way to his death, he didn't say a word. And he rose just like he said he would. Before he left, he said that he would rise again. He said that he would rise again. He said it once, and he let the word speak for itself. He never said anything else. But he let the word speak for itself. And even after he risen, he still had some doubt. He still had some doubters that he rose from the grave. Even in his own camp, amongst the 12 or amongst the 11. Amen? Thomas. That's why they call him Doubting Thomas. He said, but if I can just thrust my finger in his hand and in his side, then I'll believe. Well, he just told you that he was going to rise before he died. Why didn't you? Okay, has Jesus lied to us yet? Oh, you must not believe that he really has the power that he says he does. All them healings that took place in front of Thomas, and you don't believe nothing. You don't believe he healed people, he raised people from the dead, but yet you still don't believe he can raise himself. If he can raise people from the dead, then what makes you think he can't raise himself? Don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. But that's the way the world is today. Unless they see physical evidence that Jesus did these, then they don't believe it. But the Bible lets us know that every knee is going to bow one day, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are some people that do not believe in Jesus. There are some people that don't believe in this, because they can't wrap their mind around it. Well, take your finite mind, and I did say finite, take your finite mind, and if you don't believe it, that's fine. That's all right. I said that was going to be nice today. But don't come after others that believe. And look, let me tell y'all, let me say this. To the ones that believe, don't be going after them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go after the ones that don't believe. What I mean by don't go after the ones that don't believe, don't beat them. Don't beat them with the word. Love on them. Love on them. The Bible says, love them that despitefully use you. Because you know what? If they're doing wrong to you, they really don't believe in the power of God. Because if they knew the God that you serve, they wouldn't mess with you. But let me tell you something. Don't beat Amen. A man. Don't beat a woman. Don't beat a child with the word. Show them the word. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. Live the word. Live out the true meaning of the word. Live out the true meaning, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, live out the true meaning of the creed. We find these words to be self-evident. Well, this is self-evident. Yourself being the evidence that Jesus lives. We find the word. He said, Dr. King said, we find these truths to be self-evident. Well, guess what? I'm gonna put it in terms that we can all understand it. We find the word I'm going to put it in spiritual terms. We find the word of God to be self-evident. We find the word to be self-evident, yourself being the evidence that God's word is real. You have to live out the word of God to show mankind that the word of God is what it says he is. He is the word. We have to live out the true meaning of the word of God. That's why we must fight the good fight of faith. What do you mean, Minister Adam? But it's hard for me to believe. It's hard. You're almost getting me, but it's still hard for me to believe because I'm going through all of this stuff. I'm going through all of these problems. I'm going through this health issue and this and that health issue, and I'm dealing with this bill and that bill, and dealing with this mental thing over here, and dealing with my children over here, and dealing with my husband or my wife over there, and what else do I have? All you have is Jesus. Draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Get rooted and grounded. Don't get rooted and grounded in your problems. Please don't. But, Minister Adam, I got to worry about my problems. If I don't worry about my problems, they won't be solved. Yes, they will. Stop worrying about it. Give it to Jesus and stop worrying about it. They'll get solved. Trust me. Trust me. Do you know how many ways the Lord has made in people's lives? I know personally for me, let me show you, let me say this. You are listening to a young man that is not supposed to be here today. Now, I'm not talking about past years ago. I'm not talking about from birth up until, I'm talking about just last year. Just last year, I had a doctor tell me, you're supposed to be dead. You can't tell me that God does not live. You can't tell me that the power of Jesus Christ does not live. You can't tell me that. Because I tried him. I tried him as a healer, and he healed me. I tried him as a burden bearer, and he took away all my burdens. When I did not have the money that I needed to take care of my family, the Lord made a way. When my wife was asking me, baby, what we going to do? And all I said, it's going to be all right. That's all I could say. I've been in them moments. Well, Minister Adam, you're a minister. It don't matter. You never go through problems. There are some people that actually think that I don't go through anything because me smiling all the time. I had a person on my job tell me just yesterday, do you ever go through anything? Yeah. Because when you come in here, you act like you don't go through anything. That's the joy of the Lord. It don't look like I go through anything, but I go through a lot. I went to go see my mother and father yesterday, and I was telling them that testimony when I went inside this store yesterday. And I was telling them what my coworker had asked me, and I told them, I told this coworker, saints of God go through more in this world than sinners do. Not to downplay the sinner, man or woman. Not to downplay them, because they go through stuff too. But we go through more. And the reason why we go through more is because we are on a firm foundation, and the devil is trying to knock us off our firm foundation. The more you serve God, the more the tests and trials are going to come. The more the tests and trials are going to come. Think it not strange when the fiery darts come your way. Think it not strange. Do you not understand the fiery darts are there to knock you off course? The fiery darts that come your way is to try to get you to separate you from God and his love for you. The tests and trials that come in our life, you might say, well, why does God send them then if he knows that they're there to bring harm to us? Because without the test, there is no testimony. You won't be able to say that God did it unless he allows you to go through the test. But on the flip side of that, we got to go all the way back. If we look at the flip side of that, we got to go all the way back to Job. See, there's an answer in the Word of God for every area of our life. Why does God allow problems to happen in our life? Because for him to get the glory, for us to have a testimony to give to people, to tell about Jesus. And also to build our most, that's why the tests and trials come. But watch this. If we go back to Job, when the devil comes in and tries to throw those fiery darts, before he even throws a one single fiery dart at you, let's go back to Job. He asked the Lord, well, Lord, if you move your hand, Job will curse it to your face. What does that tell us? That means the Lord will not allow more than what you can bear. We read the scripture earlier. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why? Because he knows how much you can take. And if we go back to Job, he said, you can do this to him, you can do that to them, you could do that to them, to him, but you cannot touch his life. There was a limit to what the devil could do. There was
Amen.
A cutoff. There was a cutoff. He could take his riches. He could take his children. He could do all of this, but he cannot touch his life. And some of us have been down that road to where the point that God said, you know what, devil, you can do this to them, you can do that to them, but you cannot take this, will not take their life. Because I'm about to get the glory out of their life. He knows how much you can take. He knows how much you can handle. That's why he allowed you to go through it. Because he knew that if you couldn't handle it, he wouldn't have allowed you to go through it. He wouldn't have allowed you to go through it. But I lost this person and that person out of my life. And I went through this and I lost this and I lost that. What type of God? Why would I want to serve that type of God? Because God's got the power to give it right back to you. How do we know? He gave Job double for his trouble. He gave Job double for his trouble. That's why we can say that. See, when we lose, and Job lost his children. The only difference between us and Job, that's why I don't like it when people say, well, I done had a Job experience. No, you haven't. Nobody has had a Job experience. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to show you why. Everything that Job lost, his riches, his house, his what, all of that stuff, his children, his wife. Now, his wife didn't literally die, but being by his side, he lost his wife. Because his wife wasn't by his side when he went through it. How do we know? Because Job's wife told him to curse God and die. Brother Job, look, I'm fed up. I'm tired of this.
You need to curse God and die. You need to give it up. Whatever you need, give it up so I can be at peace. That was Job's wife's mentality. What does that also tell us? That when people in our inner circle, our family members, want to give up, don't you give up. Because Job never gave up, even though his friends came against him. Brother Job, wait a minute. Job, you must have sinned. Job didn't sin. You might say, well, did Job sin? No, he didn't sin. But it was for the glory of God why he went through it, so that the Lord might get the glory out of his life. And the difference between us and Job is that the fact is he lost everything in one day. Imagine losing all of what you save, all the money that you have in the bank. You might say, well, that's something. Yeah, that's something. But imagine losing that, losing your children. All your children die in one day. You lost your wealth. You lost your house. You lost your everything that you have. Your spouse is coming against you. Your friends are coming against you. All of this stuff is wrapped up into one big headache, one big mental headache. All this stuff is piling up in one day. That's the difference between us and Job. But if Job can go through all that in one day, imagine what we can go through with Jesus. That's why we say all we have is Jesus. Because it was nothing but the Lord that brought him through. Because a normal person, because a normal person can go through and be messed all the way up without Jesus. A normal person that has Jesus, they can go through it with a smile. So I ain't even going to say a normal person. A person that goes through it without God can lose. That's why we have the suicide rate going up so much. I'm going to bring it down to the level today. Do you not know why? This is the reason why the suicide rate is going up every year. It's because the people don't understand. The people that do this, they're at their wits' end with things. They're at their wits' end. They don't know what else to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to seek relief. So they feel like, okay, if I end my life, it's going to all be over. But let me tell you something. That's just the beginning. Now damnation comes. Now damnation begins. Now. But I would rather go through the problem. I would rather go through the test with Jesus and know that I have him and not have any money in the world, or not have anything of this world, and go through the problems with Jesus, than to have everything in the world and not have Jesus. I would rather go through the problem with him than to go through it without him. Amen. I want my Spirit Alive family to come on in the room and give some comments, and anybody else that wants to comment. I know there was a person in the chat room and in the room today. If you want to leave your comment, you can. Spirit Alive family, go ahead. If anybody wants to comment, you can do so at this time in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord,
man of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And, you know, I think that so many times we underestimate the value of what we have in Christ Jesus. And I think that when we underestimate the value of other people's souls, then it causes us to forget how important our walk with God actually is. We are a living epistle. We are the only Bible many people will ever see. So I think the example that you put forth of how you chose to honor God in that particular situation is something that is going to go very far in winning souls for the kingdom. And that's true with all of our lives. The way that we approach life, where we are real about what's going on, but our joy is as real as whatever challenges we're going to face. And joy is an inside job. Happiness is being circumstance conditioned to what happens. That's why they call it happiness. It's what happens that affects whether you're up or down. But joy is continuous, because joy is based on what's going on inside of you. So if you're studying God's word, if you're praying in the spirit, if you're fellowshipping with like-minded believers, if you're fasting, if you're praying, then your joy is full. And it doesn't matter what happens to you, whether it's negative or positive, because your joy is constant and you're reaching up into all of the blessings that God has for you in heaven. And no matter what's going on down here, those blessings are continuous and your peace is constant. So I just want to thank you for what you shared today and continue to do the work that you're doing, man of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Does anybody else have a comment? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank y'all for being on today. Amen. I want to thank everybody. I know I thank God for the teachings that I have received down through the years, and I thank God for the prayers of the righteous. Because today I was telling Bishop Carver that I was limited on my strength level today. I'm a little tired in my body. And Bishop Carver said, well, when you get started, it's going to feel like you're not even tired. And you know what, Bishop Carver, I'm here to tell you, you were right. Because I got some more strength. There's been virtue poured out, but there's been virtue poured back into me as the Lord gives me what to say. Amen. I thank God, because the word, that's what the word does. That's what Jesus does. While we say all I have is Jesus. Because when we look at the word of God, that's why he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. The things that are bothering you now, don't let it trouble you. Don't let it consume you. The things that you are going through right now, don't let it consume you. Don't let it consume your joy. Don't let it consume your peace. Don't let it consume your love for God. Amen. I'm going to read to you a scripture. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. Romans chapter 8 is a very, very powerful, very, very powerful passage in the Bible. All of the scriptures in the Bible and all of the passages in the Bible are powerful. But the reason why I'm saying Romans chapter 8 is very powerful, because most people think that Psalms is the only encouraging book there is. Not so. There are some that think that way. You can get a lot of encouragement out of Psalms, but you can also get a lot of encouragement out of Romans chapter 8 too. And out of all of the Bible, you can get encouragement. The word of God is there to help us in every area of our life.
Amen. But let's go to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Because I want you to see something. And this is the reason why I say don't let things of this world, the problems of this world, consume you. Don't let it beat you up so much that you just want to just give up. Don't let it consume you that way. Amen. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse number 36. Amen. Verse 35. I'm sorry. We're going to start at verse 35. Amen. And it reads, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I want you to see this 37th verse. It says, nay, in all things, we are more than what? Conquerors. What is a conqueror? A person that is overpowering something or somebody else. That's a conqueror. We're more than that. We are more than a person that overpowers somebody, that's got more strength. We're more than that. We are more. The Bible says the word of God, the Lord is telling us we are more than that. We are more than conquerors through him. And this takes us, this verse right here takes us back to Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengtheneth me. Amen. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now, this is the part right here. This is why we are more than conquerors. If you got Jesus on the inside of you, you can say this. I am persuaded, which means I done been told about this. Can't nobody get me out of this. Can't nobody pull me away from what the Lord has told me. Nobody. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall be able to separate us. Nothing should be able to separate you. Nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing should be able to separate you from God. That's why I said these things, these problems, these tests and trials that come, they are here to consume us, to separate us from God. How do we know? We can go back to John 10 and 10. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal. He steals the peace. He steals the joy. He tries to put more on you. But the Bible says, lay aside every weight. He tries to consume you with the problems of life, with the tests and trials of life. But the Bible says, that's why the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Why do we lay it aside? He said, cast all our cares upon him. Why are we casting all our cares upon him? Because we can't bear it. We can't bear the problems. We can't even bear the sin as much as we think we can handle it. You can't bear, look, let me tell you something. As a human being, you cannot bear the sin that a person is in. You can't bear your sin.
That's why Jesus bared it on the cross. Jesus took on sin so that you might have a right to the tree of life. Jesus took on the sins of mankind. Jesus took on the sins of the world. He put the sins upon his shoulders when he went to the cross. That's why he was able to say, it is finished. And he bowed his head and died. This is the reason. That's why the Bible lets us know, lay aside every weight and sin. Whatever your thought process is, don't let it consume you. Don't let it steal your joy. That problem, that look, we're going to go through life's problems. And if you ain't never been through a problem, keep on living. But don't let the problems of life, don't let the tests and trials of life, don't let your flesh, don't let people try to come in and consume you. People will use you up. Satan will use you up. Your flesh will use you up. Sin will use you up until you die. That's why John 10 and 10 says the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to what? Destroy. The destruction is waiting for a man or a woman when they is in the second death. That's the destruction. That's the destruction. That's your eternal destruction. That's what he wants. That's what your flesh, that's why your flesh desires the things of the world. It's pointing in a way of destruction. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. That's why the Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Why? Because sin brings death. Why? Because Adam brought death. Why? Because Adam sinned. Sin from Adam brought death. Worrying about your problems, and I'm talking naturally now, it can bring health problems. Stress, you stressing over this and that and all that brings health problems. That brings worrying about it is bringing health problems to your body. And if you got health problems in your body, you can't do the work that God has called for you to do. So stop worrying about it. This is what I said earlier. You got to get down on people's level to where they understand it. That's why I say, all we have is Jesus. Such as I have, I give unto thee. That's why we're telling you. That's why we're not, as saints of God, well, I got mine, so you need to get yours. We can't have a mentality like that. Do you not know? Look, there was 10 virgins, and I had to understand why. They said, why the five wise said go and buy when the bridegroom came. And I had to understand. Well, why didn't they help him? Lord, why didn't the five wise help the five foolish? But they actually did help him. They told him to go and buy. We should not go so far as we do not go as far. And this is what I mean by you ain't got to sin. You ain't got to step out there and sin to draw somebody. You ain't got to use the world system to draw somebody to Christ. Did the five wise do it? No, they just said going by. When the five foolish lamps went out, when their oil, they didn't take no oil with them. They needed to buy some oil. And the five wise told them, hey, look, this is the advice I'm giving you. Go and buy.
But they didn't want to be, because the five foolish, not the reason why they were told to go and buy, because they didn't bring no oil. They asked for the five wise's oil. Now, there is a big difference. In these last few minutes that I got, I'm going to show you something. There is a big difference between you, somebody asking you to show them the way, and them asking you to show them a way. You might say, well, Minister Adam, what are you talking about? You do not have to step out on God to show somebody to God, which means you ain't got to mingle with the world to show them to Christ. You ain't got to go to no party with them. Well, if you could, and I've seen this. I have witnessed this in my life where I've invited somebody to church. Well, if I come to church, you got to come to this party with me. No, I don't. That's where you draw the line. Nope, line can't be crossed. Such as I have, I give unto thee. But I'm not giving up my, no. That's when you get greedy. But other than that, you ain't got, don't be greedy as a saint. Show the love of God. You can still show the love of God and still be greedy. You know that? On that sense. I've showed you the way. I've told you. But I'm not giving up my love for Christ. Nothing will be able to separate me. Uh-uh. Nope. I don't care if mama doing it. I don't care if daddy doing it. I don't care if mom and daddy were, and I'm going to use me. If my family, if my parents, and I'm not saying that they would, but if they want to go astray, I'm not going with them. My former pastor said this one time, and it was very, very powerful. She said, If you see me going astray, and this was the pastor, you don't see many pastors doing this. You see many pastors leading people astray, dirty, muddy waters, but you don't see them leading the flock to clean water. But my pastor, my former pastor, she said, if you see me doing wrong, don't you follow me. Find you somewhere else to go. You either find you somewhere else to go or find you somewhere to go. Basically saying, don't follow me. If you see me doing wrong, don't you follow me. And I'll say the same exact thing. If you see Minister Adam Tuggle doing wrong, don't you follow me. You go ahead and follow Jesus. You see, and I'll even go further than that. You see Bishop Carver doing wrong, don't you follow him. Not saying that he's doing anything wrong. Not saying I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just using this as an example, y'all. Amen. Uh-oh. Bishop and minister Preach. Doing stuff wrong. No, I didn't say that. Bishop and minister doing stuff wrong. They over there. No. Mm-mm. That's not what I said. I'm just using this as an example. But if you see, this is what's going on in the church. For real. One minute, we praising God, and next minute, we at the liquor store. We see this stuff going on. But we, the Bible says, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Peculiar means you're different. That's what that means. That means if you see me doing wrong, don't follow me. You go ahead and be peculiar. You be different. Dare to be different. I taught on that a couple weeks ago. Dare to be different. You ain't got to be like the world. You ain't got to have the world's devices in you. You ain't got to do all that. How much time I got left? I'm about to go there real quick. You ain't got – look, young lady, let me help you. Young men, let me help you. You ain't got to – look, your pants sagging all off your backside. You ain't got to be like that. You ain't got no. You ain't got to look like the world to draw the world, but you can be separate from the world. Amen. Young ladies, you ain't got to dress like the world, but you can be modest in holiness. Amen. The Bible says he beautifies the meek with salvation. You are better. Look, I see it all the time. These young women, I see it all the time. These videos that they got out there, they showing everything, and young men too. And sometimes you got to watch out for the, never mind, let me not go there today. I'm not going to do it. Never mind. That's a different topic for another day. We might do that next week. I don't know. But I ain't about to go there right now because I ain't got time. We have to understand, young people, middle-aged people, wiser people, because I don't want to say older people. Amen. We must understand that we got to look the part. We got to be holy, for he is holy. In every area of our life, even when people are not watching us, we got to remain holy. Because holiness, without which the Bible says, no man shall see the Lord. We will not see him. We won't even get a glimpse of him unless we're holy. You think you're going to heaven unholy? Uh-uh. It ain't going to work. And I don't care if you bought man, woman, boy, or girl. If you are unholy and you leave this world unholy, and I'm just being honest, and you open your eyes on the other side of the other side of this earth, which is in eternity, and you did not leave this side of heaven without the whole, you left this side of heaven without the Holy Ghost, I'm going to be honest with you. Hell is where you're going to open up your eyes. I'm just being honest. See, that's the truth. The Bible says the truth shall set us free. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. There is none of that. I'm just giving you straight Bible. Hell is where you open up your eyes. You don't believe me? Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. John was talking about the vision that he saw. And I saw the dead, small and great. Amen. Go read it for yourself. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Amen. Then Revelation 21 and 8 says Amen. where all liars are going to go. It tells you where all liars are going to go in Revelation 21 and 8. This is real, y'all. We have to make our calling and election sure. That's the end. We all have to give an account for everything we do. All of us are going to leave here, whether it be by the grave or whether it be by the rapture or whether it be by the white throne of judgment. I hate to say it that way, but that's true. There are some people that are not going to go in the rapture. There's a lot of people that are not going to go in the rapture, and I'm not just talking about sinners either. I'm talking about saints, and you heard me. I ain't say saints. I said ain't. The ones that have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Amen. I'm done.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ,
for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all, and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise is the Holy Ghost, and it's been given. It can be given to you today. Only thing you got to do is repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and be ready to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Because that is the power, the greater, that will help you be able to say, all I have is Jesus. And you'll be able to tell people, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. And until next Saturday, join us right here next Saturday. And all week long, all this next week, join us on the Spirit Alive Network. Because we got some great shows coming, y'all. This is the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be ye transformed. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name.